So we got an announcement this morning, which I is sort of a JIT exercise. The Chuck Shalio and Dave Reynolds are here from the budget agency. We have the new April numbers, and they're worth spending some time on. So let me just indicate that the state of Indiana had a perhaps its biggest revenue month in history in April. We've only been able to check back the last 7 years, but $215 million above the expected level, biggest individual income tax payments in history, corporate up, sales tax up, every category up. This qualifier, a significant piece, perhaps 40%, 30 or 40% of this surge is related to efficiency. The revenue department, as you have learned on past occasions, is much more efficient than it used to be and is processing returns at a much quicker rate. But after you back that effect out, there's no missing the point that we've had a monster month. This reflects, as it sooner or later had to, the strength of the Indiana economy. We've got 85,000 more Hoosiers at work, and our businesses are doing better, reflected in their new investments. The new jobs announcements are coming too fast to note them all. You maybe saw 600 from Arbonne, a cosmetics company, just a few days ago. There are other announcements I know scheduled for today. Always a long way to go, but the chances of a balanced budget in this first fiscal year are now better than they have ever been. And I'm too cautious to declare victory with 2 months to go. But sooner or later, the strength of this economy had to show up in revenue payments, and it just did. Year-to-date revenues are now running close to 6% over last year. The forecast was 4.5%. And on a $12 billion budget, that's a big difference. Spending restraint has been a part of this. And as I say, gives us the best chance we've seen to date of a balanced budget in 1 year after a decade of deficits. And that's really good news. I do believe it reflects some kind of trend. I'm not sure we'll have a string of months as outstanding as April was. And again, I want to be cautious about this situation. But even factoring for the better efficiency of the revenue department in processing returns, clearly we ran way over $100 million above the forecast, and that can only be a reflection of more people working and businesses doing better than the previous year.
Governor, one of those job announcements is coming in any minute now out there at FedEx. And I wonder if you have any comment about that. And also, were you invited to go out there? Just weren't able to make it to that groundbreaking announcement?
Yeah, we've been in close touch with them. And this is just one I'm not going to be able to make. I've got to go down and see Governor Hunt and attend my first meeting of the education national education reform board that he asked me to join. But I'll be there in spirit. It's another great announcement for the state. It reflects, as the Cisco Distribution Center did in Knox County, as the Arbonne Distribution Center I just mentioned did in Greenwood, our promise and growing strength as a logistics center, which then reflects the importance of changes like major moves and great transportation infrastructure to support that distribution potential.
You know, for the most of the April revenue, do we have any idea how much of that increase might be due to, say, higher gas prices and higher state sales taxes?
There's a little in the utility receipts tax. Would be up, not gasoline so much, but from higher prices for energy generally, but it's a very modest part.
It's mainly coming from individual income tax payments, including estimated payments, and corporate taxes are way up. You may remember, and we won't know for a while, but you may remember that in last year's gas run-up, we saw no increase. People offset the higher prices by conserving gasoline and buying a little less of it. But we don't know yet in this context, but This is not being driven by sales taxes, although they're up a little bit. It's being driven by the categories that are really more directly related to how many people are working and how successful businesses are.
Chuck, how much of the, it says obviously we're about $300 million over the forecast, how much are we above what the budget was based on?
215, I think. Isn't that right?
Yeah,
above
the number that
it was based on.
Well, that's revenue, yes, the plan.
Revenue.
Spending restraint is contributing on top of that. The budget as passed, just as a reminder, forecast a shortfall of 132 in year one and then a surplus of much greater than that in year two, balancing over the 2 years. We said we wanted to balance in 1 year if possible, and based on this progress, the chances of doing that now look, as I say, better than they ever have.
We've always been cautioned not to ever look at 1 month.
And that's still, and you've been cautioned by us, that's right.
Yeah, but you're, yeah. I mean, you're, this is so different. I mean, you say that you're cautioning, but you're breaking off of view of that. So I'm trying to figure out.
Well, first of all, the biggest month in history is worth taking note of. It is a little, it's not slightly above plan or slightly ahead of history. It's dramatically so. Secondly, we're now within 2 months of the end of the year, so there are 2 months in which this might be offset, but only two. It's a little different than when we were only, let's say, a quarter or halfway through. But I think it's still worth saying that any 1 month is needs to be taken with some grain of salt, but this one is dramatically different. And again, supported by other things we know. We know that 85,000 more Hoosiers are working. We know about tremendous momentum in the Indiana economy, and sooner or later it had to show up.
The only category that is down is gaming, and I wondered if that is any bit of a concern, or what does that say? Are people being more cautious maybe with their money? Or?
It's within the rounding, basically. What is it, $4 million, you said?
Yeah, I think it's four.
But that's been a shaky revenue source, and I think the lesson every time you see that is that a state should not become too reliant on that particular source of revenue.
Do these revenue numbers bode well for things like next budget cycle, like full-day kindergarten, strategic economic plan that had at least $100 million of wish list in there?
Of course they do. I always said the reason we were in a hurry to balance the budget, that we didn't want to take years, as many people said, it took years to get in this hole, take years to get out. And I know that we took some steps that some folks were uneasy about, but the reason I was in a hurry was because I want to be able to get on without tax increases to important new programs like full-day kindergarten, the protection of children, and strengthening the state police, other things we're pledged to do. So absolutely, it's a great sign. It has to be sustained. And please don't forget that the state owes late payments, obligations to school districts and local governments in this state. And that's something else that we're intent on cleaning up at the first possible moment.
What is that now?
Well, it was 718. We paid 156 to schools in the first quarter of the year. We intend to pay a like amount to local governments in the probably in the third quarter of this year. If this trend is sustained, I would certainly look at further repayment of those obligations late in the year.
You're obviously a big proponent of full-day kindergarten. DOE is coming out today saying this full-day kindergarten that students, that parents are paying extra for is not, or at the very least may not be constitutional. Uh-huh. What's your take on that?
I can only tell you that we've talked to the superintendents and the principals and others who disagree with the memo, with the legal conclusion in the memo. And yeah, I hope they're right, because where these programs operate, seems to me they're really important. What it underscores yet again is we've got to make this standard operating practice in Indiana schools and get there as fast as possible, and I intend to get that done next year.
Does this give you some additional ammunition as you go to the legislature and say, hey, guys, look, people want it?
Yeah.
It's controversial. We need to clean this up.
Well, first, I hope that those who differ with the superintendent's lawyer have it right, and that therefore that programs that are operating today can continue. I'd hate to see any of them suspended where local districts want them and are willing to fund them. But yes, of course, it furnishes one more argument for moving now that the state is balancing its books and it has the possibility to do so. This is the next thing we ought to do in this state is full-day kindergarten, and you can count on it being agenda item number one next year.
Governor, you do envision it as being a state-supported
program? Yes, I do. I absolutely do.
I'm sorry, I have one more question about this. If there was a speed up, if part of the revenue is the speed up in processing returns,
right.
Could there be a subsequent decrease will the revenue come in below projections because you might have projected that some of that money would come in later?
Well, you never know, Leslie, but at most these fellas think there might be $80 million of the $215 that is attributable to more efficient processing. But that would still leave you well ahead, and that suggests something more fundamental is going on, even if you factored that out.
Governor, ethical issues have been a priority for you
right.
over the last year. Can you comment, two questions regarding that. The chief financial officer for Family Services,
right.
a new contract was worked out for him where he would leave his position and effectively the same day rehire as a contractor for $80,000 more. Can you comment on that?
Yeah. Well, I looked into it after the question. I found that process was followed. They pre-cleared it with the Ethics Commission, so it's clearly within the law and rules as they stand. And we've toughened a lot of rules around here, and if somebody has a constructive suggestion about a new rule, we'd take a look at it. Absolutely. Now, I think this story is not complete without taking note of the problem that department is trying to fix. And we found a disaster at FSSA. Tens of millions of tax dollars being wasted. Waiting lists, which have been cleaned up for Medicaid disability, for child care, and for other necessary services. Error rates running over 25% in the welfare system. A $7 billion agency with no accounting system. So there has been a tremendous reform of that agency, and there's a lot more to do. And it will take good people and a lot of experts to do it, but we still are sticklers for the rules around here. They were followed in this case, but again, if somebody's got a constructive suggestion about a tougher rule, we've toughened a lot of rules, and I'd be glad to modify this one.
One of the suggestions that's come out is when you take a look at the ethics rule, someone who works for a state agency cannot go right to work for a private company that then does work with that agency. But here you have a situation where an individual, a top executive in a state agency, left the agency to go right back to work for the agency as a private contractor with no separate company in between there.